King's Church.
Good morning.
As usual, I would. I wish I could sing it.
Sing it.
Yeah. I just want to appreciate Dave and Angie and the church leadership for this opportunity. Again, I don't take it for granted at all. And so my wife and my daughter bring greetings. I know they're here, but they're not always opportunity to be on this side of the church, yes, to say, yes, thank you for the opportunity, really. And we appreciate it. And everybody for making our time, you know, and coming to join in worshiping. It's always, it really feels at home here at King's Church. So thank you so much. If you can stand, we'll just read the word and then we'll say a few prayers and then we'll start. So, the key text will be from Matthew 5, 21 to 22. And it says, reading the NIV, it says, "You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, 'You shall not murder,' and 'anyone who murders will be subject to judgment.' But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, 'Raka,' is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, 'You fool,' will be in danger of the fire of hell." Okay? Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you hear us always. Thank you for this opportunity, Father. We don't take this for granted at all. And we pray that the time has come for you to speak to your people. And I pray that you speak to them beyond the words that would come out of my mouth. Your word says you write your laws in our hearts. And I pray that as we go through this session, that you inscribe things in your hearts, in our hearts, that will be a people that you will be proud of. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And I pray that we will be partakers of what you're doing in King's Church in this season. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Let us be transformed by your word. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Again, I believe that the foundation for today's talk has been laid excellently well. You know, if you miss any of the services, especially in the recent past, please do catch up on the church website. They are loaded. They are really loaded. Must thank Dave, again, and Angie, and Pete. Because they have sort of prepared the way for me and what I want to say today. Pete, last week, said something. He said, "God is looking for slaves." I think Dave was trying to expand on that a little bit today during the worship session. And I wrote down that I'm a slave for God. I belong to Jesus. And I do as I'm told. Yes. Yeah, those were some of the things he said. I become who my master wants me to become.
Yes.
That's what he said last week. And he asked us a question. Are you ready to give up all your rights and entitlement to obey God at all times and in exchange for what he wants? Okay. He gave us a Bible verse That Bible verse was Galatians 3:27, which is, again, very critical to what I'll share this with you. And it says, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." As many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Okay? And putting on Christ there means that we're now Christ. And so if you read the Amplified Version, it says, you now have the characteristics and values of Christ.
Yes.
Okay? Angie, on the 3rd of September, said something. He said, again, might be paraphrased, but you know, this is how I had it in my notes. God is not impressed with the religious. He sees our hearts and knows when it is a mess. In fact, when she made that statement, I was sat, you know, at the back then, and I believe that's where the seed for what I'm about to share, you know, was planted. And she said, God wants to restore some things in us. So he's looking for lovers that want to entwine with him. Okay. I want to set some scenarios. Okay. Because I believe that as it is, so are we. He said, be thou, be perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect. I believe God is setting, is repositioning King's Church to be a beacon of light in this time. And that's why he's, we see him through prophecies. I think Dave shared prophecies, I think, from Mark. And, you know, some of the visions. I think we are blessed people to have God give us directions.
Absolutely.
We are blessed people.
Yes.
That people who do not even experience what we're experiencing here. And so one of the scenarios I want to set is, have you ever been, for instance, driving on the road? Some time ago I was coming from Manchester. Yeah, it was a 70 miles per hour, but I think there was traffic and, you know, there were signs that we should go down to 40 miles per hour. And then as we were going in the stream of traffic, and someone just suddenly got in front of me, and I was like, you know? Or another scenario is maybe you order a takeout. If you're like my wife, your burger isn't in part of what has been delivered to you.
Yes.
How do you feel?
Yeah.
You get upset?
No.
Or a customer service, you call a customer service and after keeping you on hold for quite a long time, and then someone comes, or sometimes it just goes off. I think we get pretty upset. Yeah? Or the person who responds to you isn't really addressing what your concerns are. And so what if I tell you that if you've ever been angry, you're going to hell? Strong? That brings me to what I want to say today. And it starts dealing with anger or hurt as God's people. Okay. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and needs to come. We are a holy people. As He is, so are we. We have to be perfect. We have to be slaves. I want to say first of all that getting angry matters to God. This the verse we just read was one of, you know, the Sermon on the Mount. So that's the very words of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
The very words of Jesus Christ. And I like to look at different verse or different translation. So I look the same verse, Matthew 5, 21, 22, from the Message translation. And it says, you're familiar with the command to the ancients, do not murder. I'm telling you that anyone who is so much as angry with a brother or a sister is guilty of murder. Carelessly call a brother idiot, and you just might find yourself hurled in court. Thoughtlessly yell stupid at a sister, and you are on the brink of hellfire. The simple moral fact is that words kill. God wants to address, this is one of the aspects God wants to address in his people. As he repositions us as a beacon in this city and in this country. Leviticus 24, verse 17 says, anyone who takes the life of a human being is to be put to death. So, words kill, you've committed murder, you should be put to death. I should be put to death. This is, I think, Raka in the first verse of translation we read. Raka means worthless, empty one, empty headed, or foolish. Anyone who makes others feel less or like a fool is subject to judgment. So using your words, if I use my words to make someone feel undervalued or hurt, I'm answering to the court. Anyone who says you fool is in danger of hellfire. Remember this, this is Jesus speaking. This is Jesus speaking. And we are a Bible-believing church.
Yes. Yes, yes.
So we can't pick and choose what to believe and what not to believe. This is the word of God. Jesus is speaking and says, you're giving into the emotion. Just giving into the emotion and turning into words puts us in danger of hell. Being a Christian means restraining our response to anger and yielding to God's Spirit. That's what it means. We can't always evade conflict. Conflict in itself is not necessarily a bad thing, but it gives us the opportunity to display who we worship by our response. And that verse is not just talking about, it's not just acting out of anger, just entertaining the thoughts. You know, the case I referred to where that guy cut in front of me, I was, you know, and then I went on and on about it in my head. Just entertaining that thought. The person is not even there, but you are talking to them in your head. This is what Jesus is talking about, and he compares it to murder. So why is Jesus saying this? Why would he say this? No one is off the hook here. No one. No one. We're all guilty, and so we're susceptible to death penalty. We have all said you fool at some point. Anger presents an opportunity for us to respond in the flesh or in the spirit, which is worship to God. Okay. Some of the greatest opportunities for us as Christians to display our faith, like I said, is in situations of conflicts. And so, I want to kind of segregate this talk, the three parts. The first part would be a perspective to change. The second part would be identifying your part. And the third part would be charting a path for peace. Okay? So, like I said, conflicts gives us the opportunity to display who we worship. But don't get me wrong, conflict is inevitable. Healthy relationships are marked by conflicts.
Yes.
But unresolved conflicts,
yes,
mark the lives of unhealthy people. Healthy relationships have conflicts, but unresolved conflicts mark the lives of unhealthy people. But that's no excuse for a Christian in a violent relationship. Okay? That's no excuse for you to stay in a violent relationship, but it's an opportunity for you to display your faith. Is it possible to be angry and not sin? Jesus did. Okay? Hebrews confirms it. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are right now, yet without sin. We have Jesus performing miracles even when he was angry. We have Jesus Christ. His anger was properly motivated. His anger didn't lead to long-term grudges. So, Ephesians 4, verse 3 says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Make every effort. Hard conversations are not fun, but they're not optional. Difficult conversations. I'm saying this because Jesus is building his church, repositioning his church. When you respond to conflict with the guidance of the Holy Spirit, it displays your worship of him.
Yes.
It shows who guides you. Remember what Pete said? Forgoing our own entitlements and yielding in the way that he wants us to go. Becoming slaves. So what does it mean to yield or respond in the Spirit? Let's go down to verse 23-24 of that Matthew 5. It says, therefore, if you are offering your gifts at the altar, and there, remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them, and then come and offer your gift. Talking about responding in the Spirit, what does it mean? Message translation says, this is how I want you to conduct yourself in these matters. If your entire place of worship and about to make an offering and you suddenly remember a grudge a friend has against you, abandon your offering. Leave immediately. Go to this friend and make things right. Then, and only then, come back and make things out with God. This is Jesus speaking. You see, different people come into the church. We only see faces. Don't know what people are going through. We don't. But Jesus is speaking to you right now.
Yeah.
Okay? You're coming here, you want to lift up holy hands, and you are not in right standing with a friend. He's saying, I'm prioritizing your relationship with one another. Over your relationship, the vertical relationship with me, abandon your gift there. You're coming, you're dancing, you want to give your offering to God, and you are in conflict with someone else. Leave it there. Go and sort it out, and then come back. Then and only then, come back. Stop worshiping me until you have reconciled with the person you are angry with. So that's the first part, the perspective to change, is that we have to see conflicts as opportunities to display who we worship, who we are enslaved to. The second part is dealing with the source, identifying a part of it. If you are a part of the conflict, you have a part in it. If you are a part of a conflict, you have a part in it. Oftentimes, when we find ourselves in places or in situations of conflict, we only see what the other person has done. Yeah? Oh, yeah, he did that. Oh, yeah, she did that. Oh, yes, that's what he did. And we fail to see our part in it. Matthew 7:3. He said, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the 4x4 in your own eye? Yeah. That's what he says. There is a story. And again, this is where I thank Dave for sharing the last two Sundays about Ephesians 6, I think it's 4. Parents, do not provoke your children to wrath. There is a story of a man, a true story of a man who was, he had a father while he was, you know, growing up, you know, 5, 6. His father would often come back drunk and would deal with the mom, get physical, and would hit the mom several times, and he would run and hide. And eventually, the dad, in the process of hitting the mom, would discover where he would, you know, he was hiding. And so would leave the mom and concentrate on him. And that went on for quite a long time. From his growing up, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, until he became an adult, and you know. And so he was, this is a bitter man. He had the opportunity of being preached to. And he said, well, yeah, I hear all what you're saying, but no, I don't think I can forgive my father. I don't think he was, he said, oh, the person who was preaching said, but can you at least identify your part? Is there something? So what can't you get? I'm telling you that my dad hit me all through when I was willing. He said, yes, I get that. But can you identify a tiny little bit of what you could have done? And then he said, well, there was the times I was disobedient. There were times I was stubborn. That's a step. So what can we do about that? Eventually he summoned up courage. I'm sure it was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And he went to see his father, whom he hadn't seen for quite a long time. And he went to the father who had given the beating of his life all through when he was growing up. He said, Dad, I'm sorry that I was a disobedient child. I'm sorry that I was stubborn at times. And the father broke down and said he was sorry for how he behaved, for his actions of all these years. And the summary of it all is that the father yielded to the Spirit of God and gave his life to God. Can you see the power of owning your part in the conflict? Jesus is speaking of eagerness in resolving conflicts. In your anger, do not sin. Ephesians 4:26. I think we covered that well with the Ephesians. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. Okay. If you read further down, verse 25, 26 of St. Matthew 5, he says, settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still together on the way, or your adversary may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. Conflicts may be costly to resolve. Okay? But not resolving conflicts is more costly. That's what Jesus is saying here. If you read the Message translation, he says, Oh, you say you are out on the street and an old enemy accosts you. Don't lose a minute. Make the first move. Make the first move. Make things right with him. After all, if you leave the first move to him, knowing his track record, you're likely to end up in court, maybe even in jail. If that happens, you won't get out without a state fine. Jesus is talking about eagerness. Make the first move. Sometimes, dealing with the source, sometimes we have unmet expectations of self. You set targets for yourself and you pray about it and you're expectant and all of that. And then either unmet expectations of self, or we have expectations of others to us that can ruin our life. And when it doesn't work out and it seems as though God has not come through, we get angry with God. Yeah. You get angry with God. But the problem is not with God. The problem is not with God.
That's true.
Why? Jeremiah confirms it, 29:11. It says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you future and hope. It's not God. Proverbs 19, the Bible addresses so many things. The Bible addresses so many truths. Proverbs 19 verse 3 says, people's own foolishness ruins their lives, but in their minds, they blame the Lord. Have you had unmet expectations that probably you prayed about it? Look, whether God does it or not, he remains God. Period.
Yes.
Period. Whether he does it or not, he's God.
Yeah.
Yeah. We know life, yes, terrible things happen, all of that. Of course, people. He didn't say there's not going to be tribulations in the world. No, he didn't say that. He didn't say that. But he is God. He is God. Look at Gaza. Look at Israel. He remains God. He remains God. So, if you want to know his expectations, look at his word. Should we always do this? Chart the path of peace. Yes. How do I know to overlook it or have a conversation with people? Proverbs 19, verse 11. He says, a person's wisdom yields patience. It is to want glory to overlook an offense. A person's wisdom yields patience. It is to want glory to overlook an offense. Message translation says, smart people know how to hold their tongue. I like the message sometimes. When we're reading Art Thou, Thou Mayest, sometimes I just, what is the crux here message? And he gave it to me. He said, smart people know how to hold their tongue. Their grandeur is to forgive and forget. So, if in situations of conflict you cannot overlook it, then you must have conversations towards peace. Overlooking should happen naturally, okay? But if it hurts you, you're still talking to that person in your head, then you must have the hard conversation. Peace is powerful. Peace is powerful.
Yes.
Should I do the same with unbelievers?
Yes.
That's expectation. But they may respond poorly because they don't have the same spirit we have. The Bible in 2 Corinthians says that they are veiled. The God of this age has blinded their minds. So, in summary, we've looked at a perspective to change, and that is to see conflict, situations of conflict, situations that are capable of generating anger as opportunities to show who we worship. And you must identify your part in conflict. And you must have conversations. Forget about minor offenses. Overlook minor offenses. But if you can't, then you must have conversations. Geared towards peace.
Yes.
Conflict is an opportunity for us to show whose we are. Who we are enslaved to. If I want to borrow from last week's teaching. If you read verse 9 of the same chapter, Matthew 5, Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers.
Yes. Yes.
Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. The goal is not to get angry, but the goal is to be peacemakers. Anyone can translate their anger to blows, to hurtful words. Anyone. But Jesus said, peace translates to murder and requires a payment with life. But we know the big picture. That Jesus paid the ultimate price for us. For our anger. That I and you may be reconciled to the Father. That way Jesus gave his life so that you don't have to be angry, and a new perspective is to see conflict as an opportunity to show who you belong to. And this starts with you owning your part. Be eager to own your part in the conflict, overlooking small offenses, and the path that you are to pursue, that I have to pursue, is a path of peace. Let people wonder, who is your God and how are you able to forgive?
Yes.
I was angry for 10 years with someone or with the people. That's not sorry. I was angry for 10 years. I mean, what they did, going into the nitty-gritty. But you see, every day as I got exposed to the Word of God, it went and originated the roots of anger in me. until a point where I could sit down with them and have lunch, have dinner. I didn't realize. For 10 years, it had to do with my mom's death. So to me, it was unforgivable.
Yes.
But I was asking God, how do I do this? I didn't want to see them. But the influence of the word of God, it will break you. It will break you. And so, I want to close with the verse Pete shared. Galatians 3 verse 27. Read the Amplified Version. He says, for all of you who were baptized into Christ, into a spiritual union. By the way, if you're not born again, I ask you, please speak with the church leader, speak to Dave, speak to Angie. There is a life, there's an experience we have of this union with Christ. Okay, speak to the church leaders. If you're still sitting on the fence, don't know, you know, you don't quite know where you stand. There's no sitting on the fence here. No, there's no sitting on the fence. God is changing things in this place. So, for all of you who were baptized into Christ, into a spiritual union with the Christ, the anointed, have clothed yourselves with Christ. That is, you have taken on his characteristics and values. So when the Bible says, be perfect, therefore as your heavenly Father is perfect, he knows what he's talking about. He knows what he's talking about. Cast down imagination and every high thing that is trying to exalt itself against the knowledge of God and bring into captivity every thought. No, now that I'm speaking to you, some of you have said you need to make haste. I'm not the one saying it. Jesus is saying it. Yeah. Leave your offering, abandon it, go and make amends. Go and make amends. Go and make amends. Go and make amends. Certain thoughts may arise in you after now to say, oh, why do you not? The Bible says you make the first move. You make the first move. Because he's building a church of holy people.
Yeah.
Holiness means being set apart. And set apart people that do things that are empowered by the Holy Spirit. And I know that the Holy Spirit has brought this to the church. This day will empower you to do the right thing.
Yes.
He will empower you. He will strengthen you. He would teach you. He would write his laws in your heart. You will know exactly what to do. In the mighty name of Jesus.
Yes.
Amen.